Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James Jordan. Once again, by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you this fine Tuesday?
James, I am as lovely as I can be right now. Let's put it that way. it's going to be a long night for James and I, but that's fine. It's all good. James, how are you, my guy?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. I feel like there's plenty of good things going on. It was fun watching the Senior Bowl, getting an eye on some of this superstar potential ability in these young college players, man.
You're telling me that they're going to be superstars in this draft. I'm getting excited, James.
Yeah,
don't,
man.
Tease me with a good time.
Whoa.
You know what I'm saying?
What about with 387 pounds? Can I tease you with that?
Unless it's a filele.
Oh, we're going to get to some filele in this talk. I'll tell you that.
Appreciate it.
Before we talk filele's, let's talk Steelers.
Steelers news.
Yes.
Yeah. Pouncey.
Kendrick Green out there training with Marquise Pouncey.
Listen, what'd you call it earlier?
Some magical dust, maybe?
Maybe falling off on the new guy.
Let's pray to God.
Because if not,
He's falling off the roster.
That magic dust better help him fly.
That's it, man. Really needs some help. Had a rough rookie year. If anybody can help him out with it, hopefully it's Marquise Pouncey. If that doesn't work, then he might not be on there for much longer.
But we'll see.
That's at least. What's that?
Think we could get a fifth pick out of him? Fifth round draft pick?
No. Right now, I don't think you can get a seventh for him.
Fair enough.
Just a really, really rough rookie year, unfortunately, for Kendrick Green. Lots of high hopes. Just didn't turn out that way. By the end of the year, he was benched for poor play, which they really gave him more opportunities than you would for most guys. They really wanted him to work out, and it just didn't. Yeah. So with any kind of luck, maybe Pouncey can help clean up some of his technical issues, which there seems to be plenty of them right now. Very highly athletic kid, really good lower body explosiveness. Just had a real tough time with regaining his anchor whenever somebody put a bull rush on him.
Yeah.
Had a tough time with assignments and getting people across in his face too. So now we'll see what happens with it. Hopefully some good for Kendrick Green, but at least he's got a good teacher in front of him now. Former offensive line coach Chris Morgan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who was the assistant offensive line coach for most of the year last year, and then the acting intern offensive line coach, whatever you want to call him, for the final couple weeks, when Coach Clem left town to go to Oregon. He now has been hired by the Chicago Bears as the head offensive line coach. So Pittsburgh has no offensive line coach.
And no assistant offensive line. Nobody. There's nobody there.
That's
okay. We'll make it happen. You want to know who is there?
Who is there?
A freaking wide receiver coach, man.
Thank goodness, because we didn't have one of those before today.
No, we didn't. And that would have been very hard to get any kind of, I don't know, production.
Yeah, you need some development.
Yeah, development. Yeah, that's the word.
You need some development out of these young guys. Lots of young wide receivers on the team, as we talked about before. There really isn't a seasoned veteran on the group. But Mr. Frisman Jackson comes with a lot of wide receiver coach experience in the pros and in college ball. I think you had a link pulled up on where he was previous to Pittsburgh. Yeah, Do you still have that available?
Yeah, so 14 seasons total, or 14 years of college and NFL experience total. The 2020 through the 2021 season, he was with the Carolina Panthers. And then prior to that, he was with the Tennessee Titans in 2017. But he was under his guidance, or whatever, however you want to say it. DJ Moore of the Carolina Panthers was ranked 11th and 12th respectively last year in receiving yards and receptions. Now, you can credit that to the offensive coordinator, blah, 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 whatever you want. You did see an improvement out of DJ Moore under Coach Jackson. So very interested to see what he can do with these young guys that we got on the team. Yeah, very young and talented. Let's be real. So
yeah, there's plenty of athletic ability and talent in this group. So maybe Mr. Frisman Jackson can pull a little bit more out of him, show him some pointers, maybe some practice habits and less partying with the music or whatever. But we'll see what happens with it. I think it's a good sign to get the guy with such an incredible experience resume. So happy to see that kind of high-level coach was brought onto the team. I feel like this is very similar to last year, the tight ends coach that was brought in by Pittsburgh. A very experienced guy, had experience in playing in the NFL and then a lot of coaching experience. Came in, did a tremendous job. Zach Gentry had his best season yet as a tight end for Pittsburgh. And then the rookie Pat Freiermuth had an excellent season. I want to say, what was it, 7 or 8 receiving touchdowns on the year?
I'm pretty sure real nice 7. Year. Yeah.
Yeah. Real nice season for Pat Freiermuth. So hopefully this can be a similar type hire. But you got to at least look back at last year and say, there's hope, because that tight ends coach from last year was a real nice hire.
Yeah. And let's be honest. So, if Kansas City goes to the Super Bowl, Pat Freiermuth is probably in the Pro Bowl with Travis Kelce being gone.
That's it, man. I think he had a real good chance of being the next guy in line, and we'll probably never know now.
No, but that's okay. He'll get it next year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Depending on the quarterback and the offensive line and all the things that are going on. But yeah, let's go ahead and hop and right into this.
Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce slowed down at all.
Yeah, that's very true. But let's go ahead and hop right into the Senior Bowl. Let's talk who we got first on this list.
We're going to talk a couple offensive linemen. They both were playing for the same team, one at left tackle, one at right tackle. First guy, Mr. Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. The prototypical size of what you're looking for, right? 6'6", 3/4 inches tall, 330 pounds, good length, good power, plenty of nasty. He was throwing guys to the ground after the play all week long in practice, and then it continued it in the game. Showed plenty of physicality and actually played a little bit of guard in the second half of the game as well, showing some position versatility, which your head coaches love, offensive line coaches love. Everybody loves it. This guy is expected to be a mid to late first round pick. So the kind of guy that if Pittsburgh did want a left tackle, they want to upgrade from Dan Moore, possibly this could be the kind of person that would be on the horizon as a possible target for Pittsburgh. Maybe even you move him over to the right-hand side, but if you're going to do that, you might think about Daniel Falele. We teased him in the intro. Daniel Falele weighed in at the combine here, not at the combine, I'm sorry, at the Senior Bowl. 6'8", 387 pounds, and he looks good at that size, too.
You're telling me he looks like a filet mignon, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man, a real nice piece of meat. Real nice. He's slim, man. I expected a guy that heavy to have a big old belly on him and a bunch of extra fat around his midsection. That's not the case at all. A very athletic-looking guy and a really big dude at that. Good movement skills, excellent power. You're not going to knock him backwards.
No.
This is not a guy that's going to get his side collapsed ever, and he's a natural right tackle. So if you were looking for a solution first or possibly second round, I kind of doubt he'll be there in the second round for Pittsburgh, but should still be available at that pick number 20. If you wanted to get a starting day one right tackle who has played plenty of right tackle right out of the gate, Daniel Falele could easily be a solution for a team like Pittsburgh. And I'd be all on board with it with a guy that big, that mean, that nasty, that even kind of quick for as big as he is, honestly.
Yeah. We talked about it last year. We want to see the nasty. This might be some nasty.
There'd be some nasty with these two guys.
Yeah. We saw nasty before, but it was gross.
It was just gross. It was play. Bad nasty. Bad play. Yeah. Wrong kind of nasty. Not what we were looking for. We're going to be more specific with our request this year, probably. You know, maybe. That's our bad. That's our bad. We weren't real specific about it. We just said bring back the nasty, and did they bring the nasty.
We want to throw up the whole season. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, speaking of nasty, let's talk Malik Willis, huh? Malik Willis. As athletic as it gets, really, for a quarterback, about 6 foot, 220 pounds or so. And really a very strong arm, too. This is the kind of guy that's getting a lot of comparisons to Michael Vick, Lamar Jackson, that kind of guy where he's a very, very good athlete and a very strong arm. It's just the accuracy issues. The ability to read the defense and honestly go through his progressions. His biggest struggle in this game, I felt, was as soon as he felt pressure, he took off. And he ran really well with the ball when he scrambled. But the problem is, when are you doing it? You know, what's your down and distance? And are you actually converting drives into touchdowns? Which was not happening. He went 2 for 4 for 11 yards on the game. Not great.
Yeah, not great at all. I mean, he led his team in rushing yards on 4 carries, so that's cool.
which is awesome. But then the bad side of that is there was one untimed play that he was the starting quarterback for. The previous play, there was a penalty on the defense. The quarter ended. He wasn't going to get the ball back because in this game, at the end of each quarter, it changed to the other team no matter what it was. So you knew each quarter was kind of like the end of a half. That's how they were treating it. So he had an untimed play from the 34-yard line. That's 34 yards away from the end zone. So he drops back to pass, and instead of throwing, he feels a little pressure, and he decides to scramble and try to run all the way in, which he got tackled at about the 5-yard line by a middle linebacker by the name of Chad Mumo, which we'll talk about Chad a little bit later on in this podcast episode. So, you know, hey, that's great that you had the guts to do it. The problem is it's just not a good decision.
No, not at all.
You try to extend the play and throw it down the field to give yourself a chance. Because the chances of you getting in there from that far out, especially since they weren't bringing like a 5 or 6 man rush, there's a lot of defenders. You're probably just not going to get there.
No.
No, not at all. But again, the athleticism is there. He's probably, like you said before the show, I believe, great talent, great athleticism, probably going to need to be one of the most coached up guys in the draft. He's going to have to go through a lot of coaching in the NFL and to make a name for himself and to be a productive quarterback specifically, the coaching is going to have to be there. With that being said, we're going to talk about another quarterback now that may not need coaching very much. Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder out of Cincinnati. Cincinnati had a real nice season this year, made it into the college football playoffs. Mm-hmm. So we got to see them play in the big field and all the lights with all the pressure. That was about the time where Desmond Ridder started to fall off a little bit. He's a little inconsistent over the course of the year. Overall, put up really good numbers, though. I want to say he had like 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, something like that on the season. Some really respectable numbers. And I thought in this game looked very good. Very athletic. He's about 6'3", in that 220, 225 range as far as height, weight. And had some good accuracy. Looked like he went through his progressions fairly well. And I thought he represented himself real well in the game. And that's really what you want to see is how does a guy play in the game, right? And we saw some really nice performance, in my opinion, from Desmond Ridder in this game. Not saying I want Pittsburgh to take him in the first round. I think maybe he's one of those guys, if he's available in the second, maybe you take a shot at him. Mm-hmm. But I think all the tools are there, and that's where you got to start with these quarterbacks is what tools are they starting off with? Do they have an arm that's strong enough? Are they athletic enough? Are they too small? He's checking all the boxes. Arm's strong enough. He's athletic enough. He's got the right size. So it's at least something that you could work with if you went that route at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
A guy very similar to that, Kenny Pickett, who is a lot more famous, I guess, of a quarterback this past season playing out of the University of Pittsburgh, had one heck of a season.
He got famous for one play specifically. Let's be real.
Okay, the fake slide was pretty sick.
Kenny Pickett, changing the game, man. They are already in the process of making a rule change about that. And Kenny Pickett was the somewhat real deal in this game, you know, no incomplete passes.
Yeah, 6 for 6, had the first throwing touchdown of the game. The first touchdown came off of his arm. Real nice play where he read the defense well. The running back was left wide open for whatever reason as he rolled out to the flat on the right. Hit him in stride, and the running back took it the rest of the way, did the rest. So,
yeah,
nice play there as far as the throw and reading the defense, really. So Kenny, I thought, had himself a pretty nice game. Again, his athleticism is good. Arm is good. Biggest question on him seems to be the hand size. And this is a guy that has double jointed thumbs. So if you're watching the YouTube video, you can see what I'm doing here. So basically his thumb would normally sit close into his hand like this, which would give a poor measurement as far as the distance from the end of his thumb to the end of his pinky, which is where they're going to measure the hand width and the hand size. So he was worried about that not getting measured in a favorable manner for him. Did not get measured at the Senior Bowl. I expect that to get measured at the Pro Day after he's rehearsed it with whoever is doing the measuring there multiple times to make sure that it's done correctly and he gets the full distance, not an abbreviated version of it, which would indicate a much smaller hand.
Fair enough.
Didn't look like that was an issue with this game.
No.
At all.
Not at all. Not at all. Another quarterback, Sam Howell. Sam Howell from UNC.
Your boy, I don't know if you feel the need to salute or not. That's just a one-time thing. Okay. Nope. Sam Howell, pretty athletic guy, 6 foot, again, right around 220, 225 in that range. A lot of people comparing him to Baker Mayfield, and he's got a similar field as far as his escapability, getting out of the pocket, decent pocket presence. You did see him move around in the pocket. He got sacked a couple times, the ball came out a couple of times, but again, that was more the offensive line not protecting him well than it was on him. He did extend one play with his legs and score a touchdown. Made a bunch of nice throws as well. So I thought there were some nice things to look at with there. Pittsburgh did send a rather large contingent of front office people to UNC to watch him play one of his games, one of his home games this year. So definitely a guy that Pittsburgh has their eyes on. They definitely have their eyes on Malik Willis as well, as they were seen with him multiple times and his family after practice the one time.
Yeah.
So definitely something to keep an eye on with both of those two gentlemen. Carson Strong also had himself a decent game, did have an interception. I felt like the offensive line kind of fell apart on him, and him having less mobility than some of the other guys kind of stuck out in this game. That's been the biggest question mark with Carson so far, as he's had issues with one of his knees since high school. Had it surgically repaired a couple of times now. Not sure if it needed again or not. But this is something where a lot of team doctors are going to really be poking and prodding at that knee to see, is this a chronic issue? Is they already have arthritis in the knee? If so, it's only going to get worse. He's the kind of guy that has an extremely strong arm. He is very accurate, and he's good at going through his reads. He already knows how to read a defense. So in that aspect, he's more advanced in his ability to actually throw the ball and read a defense than basically all the other prospects. Problem is, all the rest of them are a lot more athletic. And we don't know how much of this is him just never being fully healthy with this knee, or if it's just he is what he is and what he's going to be as far as athleticism. So
yeah,
only time will tell on that. But that's kind of the top guys of the six guys that were at the Senior Bowl. Those five are all expected by most to be first or second round picks. Bailey Zappe was also in this game. He had 62 touchdown passes this last year, breaking the college football record for most touchdown passes by a quarterback in one season. 62 is incredible. Also a small school kid, though.
Yeah.
Small school kid, went against a bunch of smaller schools, so he broke a bunch of records.
Yeah.
So I think he's a decent talent, but probably a backup quarterback at best in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Let's stick with the offensive side of the ball real quick and switch over to someone who played center and guard kind of in this game, and even has the potential to play tackle, Zion.
Yeah, Mr. Zion Johnson, big boy, 6'2 and a half, not real tall, but 314 is excellent as far as the body weight going with it. Showed great power in this game, and his arm length is real nice for a guard slash center. And adequate for a tackle if you were to play him out there at 33 7/8 inches. Yeah. So that's good length. You're not going to see too many guys be able to get into his chest and move him without him being able to counter it. So Zion Johnson is one of those guys expected to be mid to late round, first round. So somebody that could easily be on Pittsburgh's radar if they're thinking about possible center or guard. Most of his college experience is at the guard position, but he practiced at center most of the week this week, and does have, as you said, some versatility, some experience playing a little bit of tackle in college too. So really could play almost anywhere on the offensive line. And with some of the other center prospects this year being smaller guys in that 290, 295 range, a 315-pound powerhouse who can also play center is something that could be very appealing to a lot of teams, especially if you're possibly looking for a new starting center and starting right guard.
And potentially backup right tackle, backup left tackle. Basically, you're just looking for a whole new offensive line. Yep. You could use somebody with that kind of thing. Because here's the thing. Automatically, anybody that's at his level of talent, as far as an offensive lineman, no matter the position, he automatically takes a step above because of the versatility and the flexibility he has to basically play any position in the offensive line.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and Pittsburgh absolutely loves guys with versatility, can play multiple positions, especially on the offensive line. That's huge for him.
Yeah.
So.
And the middle linebacker position, because they like those safety middle linebacker hybrids.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
why not?
But sticking with the offensive side of the ball again, tight end. Tight end Jake Ferguson.
Let's talk about Jake, man. He had himself a nice game.
Yeah.
A couple nice catches near the end. Actually turned one of them into a touchdown after a little bit of yak on the play. Showed a little bit of wiggle to himself there. At 6'4" and 3/8", so about 6'4" and a half, 241 pounds, 32 3/8" long arm. So decent. 32 and a quarter. I'm sorry. I'm looking at another guy there.
That's okay.
So pretty decent on the length as well. So you're talking about a guy with good athleticism, looked like a decent blocker out there. Stuck out the most in his receiving capability of the tight ends in this group. Most of them, a lot of them in that 240, 245 pound range. Not a lot of bigger tight ends in this group. He would be real borderline for Pittsburgh. But again, like we talked about this a little bit before we were recording the show. We feel like Pittsburgh probably is not going to target tight end. If they do, it would have to be like a later round because he's most likely just going to be a third, number three tight end. Top two spots are pretty much taken already. The only thing being with Zach Gentry entering his fourth year of his rookie deal. That's the final year of it. So will they sign him afterwards? Maybe you think about possibly a fourth or fifth round guy. We'll see. Seems to be a pretty deep class with a lot of guys that would fall in that second to fifth round category that are good quality guys. And Ferguson would fall into that group.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If they wind up getting a tight end, sure, there's potential for him to be an immediate impact in the sense that we run three tight end sets fairly often. And that person could probably get playing time in the first year. But there has to be nothing else of value at any other position of need in order for me to be okay with that.
Yeah.
And I don't see that as it happening. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Pretty low on our priority list of where we would like to see Pittsburgh go on the draft. If they took one late, okay, I'm all right with it. But that's more of like, hey, if sixth or seventh round comes and that guy has a possibility of making the roster, okay, I'm good with it. Because a lot of your sixth and seventh round picks don't make the team anyway.
Yeah, let's be real. Oprah Winfrey isn't here giving out picks for us to keep getting more players. You know what I'm saying?
No, but is Perrien related? I need to know immediately.
I don't know, but Perrien Winfrey, the defensive tackle in this game, played fairly well.
Lights out, man. Like, better than Sean Merriman lights out, kind of. Two sacks in this game, at least that I saw. All kinds of pressure. The guy weighed in at 6'3" and a half, 303 pounds, and you think, well, that kind of sounds like a meatball. No, he's a lean dude. Lean in, very explosive off the get-go. Really got going off the snap and beat people with speed and power. So I want to say that during the broadcast, they said he expects to run in the 4.8s on his 40-yard dash, which would really be incredible at over 300 pounds. So it would be really interesting to see what he does. But I think this is probably second round or later kind of guy. And if we were to hear that maybe Stephon Tuitt decided to retire, this is the kind of guy I would not mind seeing opposite of Cam Hayward. Because you have to think that if Stephon Tuitt did decide to retire, Pittsburgh's probably going to prioritize that defensive end position pretty highly in the upcoming draft. So if there's a guy that fits the mold, this guy fits the mold.
Yeah, we'll take it. There's another defensive tackle.
Yeah, another big, strong dude. Bigger than Perry and Winfrey. More of a power game than he is a finesse dude. Travis Jones at 6'4", 326 pounds, showed power all week long, was bullying people in practices, throwing them to the ground, and just did a lot of bull rushing people during the game and just resetting the line of scrimmage, which is what you really want to see from a defensive tackle. So superior strength from a guy like this would be an excellent run stopper in the middle of the defense. And somebody that maybe you could see as a long-term replacement, kind of similar to what you had with Javon Hargrave back in the day. Not too far back, they took him in the third round. This is a guy I could see being a third or fourth round pick just because he doesn't have a lot of production sacking the quarterback. So I don't think he would go too much higher than that. But if you were able to get him there and then keep him on the team for 4 years, maybe even longer, you never know. It could be a real instrumental part of turning around the run defense in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah, because we need that very much so. Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, Pittsburgh needs a corner and even potentially a safety.
Yeah. Alante Taylor could be either one, right?
Could be.
Had a nice interception in this game. High pointed the ball real well, like you usually see wide receivers do. The play-by-play broadcaster did mention they feel like he might have to make a transition and play safety in the NFL. Usually that means it's a lack of speed, and that's why they're saying that. But really nice ball skills. So we'll see what he decides to do, what he times at when he goes to the combine. But you always take notice when a defensive back high points a ball like a receiver does, because yeah. that's a really important thing when you get to the pro level.
Well, an even greater awareness of recognizing, hey, I'm playing under NFL rules and I was untouched going to the ground. I'm going to get up and run. Great job on his part to recognize the situation, get up and gain some more yards for his offense once they got on the field. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Next guy. Oh, you want to talk about next guy?
Yeah, man, let's move on.
Oh, boy.
outside linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to call him, what he is Boye Mafe, and an incredible pass rushing talent. Very, very explosive off the line, beat offensive linemen with his speed multiple times, but then countered that and beat him with power. I saw him multiple times in this game use a power bull rush. Got into offensive tackles, chests, and just drove him right straight back to the quarterback. The commentators were talking about him being 234 pounds, but he weighed in at 255. That's at 6'3 with 33⅛-inch long arm, so real nice prototypical size. I would not think this is somebody that's going to be around in the later rounds of the draft just because he showed too much. Unless he has a really bad college resume, his performance at the Senior Bowl will definitely have him climbing some charts on some folks who didn't know much about him previously. Would be a tremendous option as a new number three pass rusher for Pittsburgh at outside linebacker. It honestly might have the skill level that he would push a guy like Alex Highsmith. Might even be able to beat a guy like that out. Not that I want that. I really think, honestly, Alex Highsmith is a great number two. But you never know what's going to happen in the future here.
Yeah. Yeah. Sticking with the middle line or sticking with the linebacker, potentially outside, you know, depending on the play, middle linebacker, Chad Muma.
Yeah. Chad was all over the place in this game. Really showed some nice range and ability tracking down ball carriers, including Malik Willis. On the one play that he decided to scramble from the 34-yard line. Chad was the guy that ran him down. A taller guy, 6'2", 241 pounds, 32⅜-inch long arm. So pretty decent arm length for a middle linebacker. And just kind of looked the part, you know. Was always around the ball, made a lot of plays, and looked pretty good out in space, too. I feel like Pittsburgh will be looking at the middle linebacker position either in free agency or in the draft. And what I'm really hoping for is that they go for a taller guy with some length that might have a better chance of disengaging offensive linemen and just going after the ball carriers that way. I feel like the issue that they're having right now is they got a lot of middle linebackers in that 6 foot and shorter with short arms kind of range, which makes it difficult for them to shed blocks, let's be honest. When you're 234 pounds and the offensive guard coming at you is 334 pounds, you get a real disadvantage, and you better at least have the length to disengage, and if you don't have that either, you're just in trouble. So I feel like they need to go after a different kind of mold of middle linebacker, and if we're going to continue with Devin Bush, which I do feel like the team should and will just because they're not going to give up on a first-round pick yet.
No.
I think you need to complement him with a guy with a little bit more size who can disengage off a block a little bit easier.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. And then two more guys we're going to talk about here. The next one's an outside linebacker, defensive end, local boy for us here in Erie, PA. He actually played high school ball in Erie.
Mr. Jesse Luceda.
Yeah.
Jesse, formerly of Canada.
Canada, Erie.
Canada, Penn State. Erie, Pennsylvania. Penn State, Maine.
Pittsburgh?
NFL. Pittsburgh would be great.
Question mark?
Here's the thing, man. The Philadelphia Eagles got a real history of drafting Penn State Nittany Lions. So I wouldn't be surprised if that ended up happening.
Yeah.
But really would love to see Jesse in the black and gold. He's got an NFL frame already. At 6'2", 261 pounds, he's a big ball of muscle. Would probably fit best in the NFL at outside linebacker or defensive end in a 4-3. Or like your nickel defensive end, kind of like how TJ Watt plays in that position. Really has the power and some pass rush moves to get after the quarterback. Got two sacks in this game. And again, this is a college all-star game with the highest level seniors in the entire nation, yep, or guys that have already graduated and would qualify to participate in the game. But Jesse did an excellent job in this game and really helped his draft stock. But Penn State did kind of use them all over the place this last year due to a lot of injuries at the off-ball or middle linebacker position.
Go ahead and repeat what you said real quick. Go ahead and repeat what you said real quick. You were lagging out a little bit.
So middle, his position, I think, is best as an outside linebacker or edge.
Yes, I agree.
Penn State had a lot of injuries to the middle linebacker position last year, which forced Jesse to play a little bit of middle. And he had the instincts for it, but his lateral agility and mobility side to side is nowhere near as good as what his straight line speed in chasing after a quarterback or a defender, or after a ball carrier, I should say, is. Yeah. So I think his best move is an outside pass rusher, or even a contain guy. Honestly, if you run to his side, he's going to be able to contain you and force you backwards, because plenty of strength on this guy. But really represented himself and Penn State very well in this game. Really nice to see out of Jesse Luketa, Penn State Nittany Lion.
There you go. And Erie First
Pennsylvania
Christian Academy
for a few years.
Yeah. Great to see that. Well, I guess he was
Mercier's prep football team, but Christian Academy High School.
Yep. So
they don't have their own football team, so that's the way it works.
Yeah, that's how they don't have anything. They have a basketball team that's been pretty good recently. In recent years, I shouldn't say recently. There was also a safety in this, by the name of JT Woods.
Yeah, JT had the game
ceiling interception.
That's it, man. Nice instincts. The ball hung up in the air a little bit, but you know, we saw it coming. He got there. He high pointed it before the receiver could get to it, and even added a little decent return on it, and that sealed the game. So his team was able to win off of that. 6'1", 188 pounds, so he's a little on the slender side, but nothing that you can't fix in an NFL weight room. If he's got the instincts, which it sure looked like he did on that play, you can get with your strength and conditioning coach or a Marcel Pasteur kind of guy, get him in the weight room, muscle him up a little bit. Tough to teach instincts as much as it is weight room strength.
Yep, 100%. So that's going to do it for the guys here in this game. We also want to talk Pro Bowl very, very briefly. Very yes. briefly. Very briefly, just to clarify. Briefly. Deontay Johnson briefly caught a two-point conversion. Didn't drop it, shockingly. and then TJ Watt also had a sack fumble that led to a Myles Garrett fumble recovery. It was more of an interception, but whatever, that went for a touchdown. Here's what I have to say about this game. Pro Bowl's trash. The Pro Bowl is nothing like what it used to be. I even tweeted at the NFL from my personal account saying, basically, I apologize, I'm not watching this game. This is horrible football. I completely understand why these players would not want to potentially play hard, ruin their career for a game that basically means nothing. Yes, it's for the fans. They mingle a lot with the fans, sign a lot of autographs. They have fun with it. It's all fine and dandy. Why not try this for a year? Why not do this? And I saw somebody else talk about, hey, the bottom two-tier teams should play for the number one overall pick. I don't think teams are going to take a chance for two of their players to go down with season-ending injuries or whatever, just to go up one pick. I realize, whatever. It still would have been a better game than what we watched, but whatever. And that's where I had an idea that James, and I tweeted this at them, at the NFL, and James can expand on his version. He even took it a little step further. I personally believe that, and I said this, I was like, why not allow practice squad and undrafted players from the previous year, practice squad players and undrafted players, to opt into playing in this game? And then have all the players that were voted into the Pro Bowl go as coaches for their respective positions. Now, with that being said, it gives those well-known players more time to mingle with fans while other players are coaching. And then you also get the ability to have these unknown or not as well-known players, or who knows, no-name players, potentially create a spark for their career to take off. And I think you'd get better football. Let me clarify. You'd get better football. You'd get better football than what we watched on Sunday. It was quite pitiful. But James, go ahead and expand on your idea, because I really liked what you took it a step further.
Yeah, I love Cody's idea on this. And what I said is kind of give the guy that gets voted in, give him the option. So let's say Deontay Johnson, for example, he's got 3 years under his belt on his rookie deal going into his fourth year. Maybe he doesn't want to take the chance of getting injured in this game, having a significant injury, and then having that impact his money-making ability on his contract season. I'd get that, right? So let's say he decides he doesn't want to play. You still pay him, but give him the option of choosing his replacement. So not the next guy in line who had the next amount of votes, somebody from his team, and it's got to be from your same team. So it would be a motivation for the team itself. And then he can choose either, say, the next guy in line like Chase Claypool if you wanted to, or what we would be more inclined to vote for is something where it was somebody on the back end of the roster. So a practice squad guy or that fifth or sixth string guy like Pittsburgh could have Anthony Miller or Rico Bussey Jr., one of those guys who's really trying to figure out, hey, am I good enough to be in the NFL? Give him a chance in a game like this. Now you get Deontay Johnson coaching you all week long, and you get a chance to participate in a game on a national level where lots of people are watching because it's your second to last game of the year as far as a pro game. Even Cam Hayward, if he were to choose a replacement, he'd probably pick Isaiah Loudermilk, who really got better as the year went on, and I'd love to see him in a situation like that.
Yeah.
I think it would really, I love Cody's idea on it. I think if you let the player then choose who were to replace them with the stipulation of it being something like it's got to be a back of the roster kind of guy, you could really get a good competitive game of a bunch of possible future up and coming kind of guys. And if the guy wants to play, let's say maybe like Najee Harris, for example, it's his first time going to a Pro Bowl. He's a rookie. He's got a fully guaranteed contract. He wants to play, let him play.
Yeah, why the heck not?
And here's the thing. If you have a player that opts in to play, great, great. If they understand, hey, this game is the you're trying to win this game. You're going all out. Great. And a player wants to do it, go for it. All power to him. Deontay Johnson, for a prime example, a player that had a little bit of a falling off towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Wants to prove, hey, I'm the real deal. I wanna get a contract negotiation going or a contract extension. Let me show you what I can do. Just to clarify that it's not just me in practice, whatever. Great. That's absolutely great. Now I can't imagine most of the other higher end players, TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, you know, the Bosa brother. Most players would probably opt out and have fun with fans and enjoy the time and the money and everything else. But let's try to give the fans some better football.
Yeah, and it's doable, just not in its current format.
No, but sign me up, NFL, and I'll brainstorm the living daylights out of it.
Yeah,
I would go hard on that planning and idea prep.
Oh yeah, man.
Gonna tweet at him later. Also, real quick. Other news: potential hirings.
Yeah. So there's lots of rumors going around right now that Terrell Austin is basically already hired as the Steelers' defensive coordinator. It's not official yet. We would love to tell you, hey, it's official. You heard it here first, but it hasn't happened as of 8:20 when we're finishing up this podcast right now on Tuesday evening. I won't be surprised if you hear about it already Wednesday morning or any time in the future here, because it's being reported by, I want to say, like Jerry Dulac or somebody pretty close to the organization, as it's basically a done deal at this point. Also, Lewis Riddick, former general manager in the NFL, and more recently on Monday Night Football commentating, is being brought in for an interview of the general manager position.
I did see that. Yep.
Just another big name guy that could be brought in possibly. And we'll see what comes of that. But nothing happened as far as Omar Hunt and Omar Khan and Brandon Hunt. Neither one of them got hired away by anyone else. So both leading internal candidates are still in-house at this point. But you got to feel like they're going to fill these positions real soon here, because you need to start working on your draft preparation process, and then also planning for free agency, who you're planning on retaining and who you're planning on going after.
Yeah, for sure. So again, we look forward to bringing you guys updates on the next episode. It could be potentially later near the end of this week, maybe over the weekend or again
early next week, more than likely Monday. And then we're going to be talking about the, depending on East-West when it is.
East-West Shrine Bowl.
East-West Shrine game. Is it the bowl?
Yep.
Is it bowl?
Technically, it's the bowl now.
Oh, well, East-West Shrine Bowl, whatever. Yeah. And then if it is early next week, we'll obviously be talking Super Bowl a little bit as well.
Yeah.
The definite goal is later this week, but just depends on certain things. So keep an eye on that. We can't thank you guys enough for following and being a part of this Steelers by the Lake fam. Again, be sure to like, follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.